Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 107 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my buddy, my compatriot, my friend, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Adam. How are you doing today?
I'm well. It's a little warm, actually, in the home office because it's kind of still. It's really, really nice outside. So I think it's currently 54 degrees.
Okay.
In the morning, we're recording in the a.m.
Okay.
And I was sitting out there, and you're like, "Hey, I can record early this morning." And you're like, "I'm like, what? Yep. Kyle's early? Right. 2 weeks in a row now. You're early."
Yep.
But it's okay. I'm good. I already did a 3.5 mile run, and cleaned the bathroom shower.
Yep.
Had breakfast.
Okay.
And here I am.
Well, what else?
Oh, you know, that's it, really. That's it, my day. I'm done.
No. Oh, my.
Oh, you know, actually, here's a little, I'll tell you this. You already know this, but we'll share this with the audience. I surprised you last week.
You surprise me every day.
This time, though, I got you the third time's a charm, surprised you at WordCamp Jackson.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You walked in.
I walked in. You were standing there talking to the mayor.
Surprised.
you were trying to keep all calm, not be like, "Oh, woohoo, Silver's here," and give me the hug that you normally would and hurt me, but in your youthful exuberance. But you're like, "Hi, and it was pretty funny at the co-working space. And then I met the mayor of Jackson, and then of course we caught up later. But that was cool. And I, you know, also of course, really got to see Abigail, got to see Ashley, and one of my favorite people in the whole world. I got to see your dad.
Oh, yeah.
And your mom.
That was pretty special.
But went out to the house to get your kid, and it was great to see your dad. He's so fine. Yeah. Like, here's the thing. My favorite part about seeing him was when he realized that he and I are closer in age, like a lot closer than you and I. Mm-hmm. You know, he and I are like 3.5, 4 years apart. So he was like, "What? How old are you?" And I told him, he's like, "Oh, I don't think he knew. I don't think he ever really thought about it." So it was kind of funny.
Yeah. You're 4 years older, right?
Oh, that's not funny. No.
Is that wrong?
You're wrong. Yeah.
Whatever. You're
incorrect. But yeah, I think he was really like, he looked at me. You know, the other part was funny was his friend Adam was in the house. Remember?
Oh. Yeah.
And
how could I forget?
He was all, "Wait, I have a friend named Adam who's here. Kyle's friend Adam is here." It's like, it was just funny. So
it was pretty special.
It was cool.
Yeah. It was kind of neat.
Yeah.
So. That was a fun weekend, and I'm glad you came to visit.
Oh, thanks.
It was a very short visit.
It was. I came in Friday, left Sunday morning. No, is that right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I flew in Friday morning, right for the day of camp, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. And then left Sunday morning. Yeah, early.
We didn't get to do very much together. It was pretty brief, busy. You weren't even at my house during the daytime at all. And
right. Yeah, you've seen them all.
Yeah, I guess. So. Whatever.
It was a good camp, though. It was nice, small, like a very small, intimate space and people. And ironically enough, I also got to re-meet Renee, who doesn't work for me. And she said we met at Kent like a couple years ago. And I hate this. I mean, I guess I meet enough people. I'm like, how did I not remember that? But then she was in our audience when we did the live show.
Yeah.
And I kind of, when she said that, I'm like, oh, that does sound familiar now. I mean, I remember being there for that, and I kind of remember looking at the audience. You know, at camp, sometimes it's hard to remember everybody you meet because there's so many people sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. A lot. And sometimes there's just a lot of them kind of in passing, you know?
Yeah. So anyway.
What do you expect? I mean, we're old.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. And speaking of that, how was your, what's up with you? What's new in your world?
You know, usual. I got an Apple Watch.
Oh, that's right.
Ash gave me that as a gift the other day. And,
because for a gift for what? What you can't see here real quick, I have it a little lower in the notes. It's in white text. You see that now if I highlight it?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
I just added it. So it's
of course
hidden.
I didn't. He's a sneaky person.
Yeah, it's happy belated birthday to Mr. Kyle Maurer. Happy birthday to you.
Let's not do this.
Happy
Stop.
Birthday to you. Should I do
That's
the other
one?
Want me to do the other version? Happy.
Please don't do it. Stop. Stop.
I like to see you frustrated. This is good. So, yeah, you had a birthday. You got an Apple Watch. Is it a Series 5 or did she get you the 4?
Do you know it's an Apple Watch?
So Dustin asked me, he's like, hey, so did Kyle just get a watch? Because I guess, you know, you've requested that we all track each other. You know, Dustin and I have been doing it for years now. I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, because all of a sudden it's like Kyle's first run, Kyle's first workout, Kyle's first. You're getting all the badges for all your firsts. It's pretty funny.
No, it's just because that's the first time I have ever gone running.
There's that too. Yeah. Right. So let me ask you this real quick. Is your watch face always on? Can you see the time without, is it always just like always lit up?
Yes.
It never goes dark, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's a Series 5. Okay.
Okay.
That's the difference. Yeah. Mine, I have to lift mine up to the eyesight level, like lift the arm up and it lights up. Yours is always on.
Oh, that sounds like so much work.
First world problem.
Yeah.
So happy birthday.
Good. I haven't figured it all out yet, yeah. but I'm having fun playing with it.
Cool.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah. You're gonna become, you know, obsessive compulsive with the fitness rings and stuff, like a little bit like Dustin and I, but he does 10. His goal for the last year, I'm not sure how long he's doing it now. His goal has been 10,000 steps every day, plus close the rings. My goal has never been the steps. Mine have just been close the rings, and I've done that for like 535 days in a row now. And then Apple gives you these goals every month. Uh-huh. Which cause me, sometimes they're just ridiculous. Like, you know, this month I have to do 21,500, technically, I forgot, 21,500 something, calories burned.
Uh-oh.
So it's like 810 a day. On average, you have to average. So,
that's pretty good.
It's a lot.
I like challenges. Yeah. I like competition.
Yeah. If they gamify it and then it becomes addictive, I'm going to have to, after this year, so I'm doing all 12 months this year, and then I'm next month, I got to take a break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So anyway. Sure. So what else? You got the watch? Anything else going on?
No.
No?
It's good. Podcasting.
Starting to rake the leaves?
That's probably what I'll be doing today.
Yeah.
Probably all day. Yeah. There's a lot of leaves.
Yeah.
A lot of nuts. We're going to probably take down more trees because it's more than we can handle.
Well, I'm going to let somebody know about this, that you're an anti-tree hugger.
Yeah, I'm a tree chopper.
Tree chopper, not
death
a tree hugger.
To the trees. Right on. Down with trees.
Nice. So, all right. Well, that's the episode. No more trees. And thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
Actually, just so you know, we're not done with the show. We have a lot more to do here. So,
oh man.
All right, round two here. All right, in the news, I wanted to pitch our WordCamp US get together.
Oh,
it's coming up.
Cool.
WordCamp US.
I'm excited about that.
Is in a couple of weeks, like 3 weeks, I believe, if that. 3 weeks, yeah. It's gonna be cool. So you and I and Joe and Christy from WP Buffs, and she's with Liquid Web, and you know, and she's with the other show, their podcast. We're doing a little podcast coffee.
Yeah. Do you know the name of their show?
Yes. MRR.
WPMRR.
WPMRR. Yes, I do know the name
of the podcast. It's a great business podcast.
It is.
I listen to every episode, and I have since they started.
What number are they up to?
Big fan.
Four? Episode four?
Just kidding. Come on.
I'm teasing.
A whole bunch of episodes.
Yeah.
They just, like the last one I listened to, they interviewed Hans and Donata Skillrud.
Oh, that's hilarious. Can I mention that story real quick?
There's a story?
Between Hans and Donata, specifically Hans? So they were at WordCamp Jackson. And they're awesome. And so as the audience of this show may know, they've sponsored this podcast. And I had no idea that he was American. So we're in one of the breakouts, you know, talking about marketing and stuff, and he's there, and then we start talking about legalities and contracts and stuff, just about 10 people talking at this little where the couches and the chairs were. And I then mention about you to somebody across from me, I said, you should check out Termageddon. And he says, oh, that's ours. I'm like, what? And I saw his name earlier. I just didn't connect the two. And the fact that he had no accent, because in the emails that we'd exchanged back and forth, you know, in our email account for Get Options, I just heard an accent because his name's Hans.
Oh my goodness.
They are super cool. Yeah. They were just so nice. And actually, we already talked about there's a chance I may go to DFW, WordCamp DFW. He's like, I said, are you going to go? He's like, yeah. So he's going. Anyway, we were talking about it. I said, well, if you're going to bring the accent, maybe I'll show up. He has no accent.
No, he doesn't. Super. But they're very nice people.
Oh my gosh. They were the coolest. So
they are. They are.
Anyway, so yeah.
What were we talking about?
Our meetup.
We're doing
the coffee thing. It's gonna be at the Starbucks the Saturday morning. Time to be determined still, like probably early, because camp starts, you know, what, 8 or 9 people start going over there. So we'll probably go like 7 for an hour or so. 6:37, I'm thinking.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
It's gonna have to be early, yeah. You know.
What's the appropriate attire for this occasion? Like, should we bring a suit? Like a bathing suit?
No.
Okay.
You don't want me to sing birthday songs to you? Do not wear your bathing suit.
It's 2 days after Halloween. You know, I'll still have a costume. I could. Oh. Should it be a costume?
Well, actually, there are rules about the camp this year, but as far as organizers go, about wearing costume masks at camp kind of thing. It's like, I guess they're saying no because of just, I don't know, safety thing. I don't know. It's weird. But I would say just wear wear what you're comfortable in and, you know, but within, but, you know, be respectful of other people's eyeballs. and sensibilities.
I guess I'll keep that in mind.
Yes, please.
Okay. And I want listeners to keep in mind that we're totally having a competition with WPMRR to see who can bring in more fans.
Right.
And whoever brings in more doesn't have to pay the tab. I just made that up.
Okay.
Yeah. But if we get more get-optioners...
Shouldn't the tab really go to who has the most MRR? On the podcast or in the business. So it's either Sandhills or Buffs right off the bat because Get Options has no MRR.
I'm pretty sure Liquid Web has the biggest.
Oh, okay. I'm good with that too.
anyway.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
So you'll get a latte or a mocha or an espresso or a cappuccino or a cold brew.
I thought we're just doing, you know, brewed coffee.
No, they can have whatever they want according to me.
Wow. So I guess Sandhills is covering some of that building.
but totally on Get Options.
But we're only doing the little sampler sizes. Not like ventes or double vente, grande mocha, frappuccino with chai.
When we say cover, we say we're going to give you a mail-in rebate.
That's awesome. Do you remember those? Do they still have those?
Yeah, Menards does. It's
annoying. We should totally do a mail-in rebate for, like, you know, you should do something like Sandhills for, like, you know, WP, for like affiliate WP discount code or something.
That's a thought.
I might do that for April 1st next year.
I'll consider it.
Okay. All right. 100% mail-in rebate.
That's a great idea. Okay. It's a stupid idea.
All right. All right. Don't and do that. The other thing in the news.
Come to our thing. If you're coming to WordCamp US, come over to the coffee.
Yep.
Other fun people will be there.
Right.
And you know what we're going to do? It's going to be so cool. We're going to hang out together.
Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this, really, I do know that we have somebody who's been on this show before. She's coming to represent us. We already got one. We're one up for sure.
Right.
I talked to her yesterday.
Dolly Parton.
Yes, she's in town. Also in the news, you wanted to mention this one.
Oh, I just wanted to remind people to go check out the Women in WP podcast because they've been churning out some great episodes and it's been quality stuff. Mm-hmm. They've been learning a lot and they've been actually getting like really interesting guests. And here's the thing, Adam, you and I have been in the WordPress podcast scene for a while. We've been on a lot of the other WordPress podcasts. We've listened to most of them that exist. And you know what? There's a lot of the same guests who just go around all of the same shows. Women in WP podcast has been great at getting new, super interesting guests, people that I haven't heard before already a dozen times. And I applaud them for that. So check them out.
Okay. You know? Yeah, I mean, and have they ever? Why can't I speak this morning? This is weird.
I don't keep trying.
Okay,
keep trying.
Have they had men?
Enunciate.
Have they ever had men on their show? I'm just curious.
They don't need no men,
right?
No, it's no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better that way.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I want to hear a man speak, I'll just call you again.
Listen to every other podcast, literally.
Right. Right. So, all right. We'll get to that later. All right. That's it. Is that it in the news? I think so. Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
All right. We got two changes here to discuss. You take the first. I'll take the second.
Saul Ferrarello was recently hired by Web Dev Studios.
Do you know Saul?
No.
Okay. Where was he before?
I don't know.
Okay.
But congratulations.
Right on. Awesome. And Tessa Crissell has left Circle CI. And she's joined a tugboat, and she's launched Devocate.
Devocate.
Is it Devocate? Devocate. Yeah, you're right.
Like Devocate. Like Advocate.
Advocate
like
for developers. Yeah. Right, that makes sense. And tugboat's pretty interesting, actually. Tugboat. She's doing some work for them. They are a staging server deployment preview pull request, very developer-centric service. And I sent this over to my buddy Jamie because it's something he would be right up his alley. So pretty interesting thing. So she's doing some work with them, and Devocate is her new thing. She left Circle CI. She actually posted about this on her blog after she left Pantheon, then she went to Circle CI, and then that just wasn't the right fit. And she was honest about it, and I really thought the post was really interesting. And it's great that she kind of figured it out early, sooner than later, that she can, you know, just have a better match in what her own life is, what she was looking to do, you know, have that better overall fit.
Totally.
Because too many people, I think, you know, don't you find this, you know, you stick with something way too long because it just, you're afraid to leave. Or even if you take something new, you know, like, well, it's new, let me give it a little bit longer. But she just knew right away. She just knew in her bones. She said she, you know, she just knew.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I love getting on that soapbox and ranting about that. And I might just a little bit later. A lot of us stick too long to a lot of things.
Yes. Yes.
That's a theme of this episode. It's like pull the plug.
Right.
Earlier.
Right. So.
And yeah. Anyway, okay. So I recommend people contact Tessa, though. A lot of us.
Yeah.
She had a consultation with her yesterday.
Oh, really?
Actually. Yeah. Yeah. To learn more about Devocate and the services she's providing, because they're pretty unique.
Yeah.
And I think that they're more and more relevant these days. And I recommend scheduling some time with her. She's got free consultations that you can book through her website. Mm-hmm. And you're going to learn a lot from her. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of listeners could take advantage of the unique services she's offering. So check it out. Check it out.
Right on. Okay. That's it for changes, I believe. Yeah, that's right. What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now. What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now. Okay, what are you wearing and drinking and reading, Mr.
Currently, I'm wearing a Cloudways t-shirt under a Sandhills Development hoodie. I'm drinking some cranberry juice, and I'm reading Traction.
Huh. Is Traction written by the same person who wrote the Harry Potter series? Because it's taking you a really long time to get through that book.
Good Lord. No. Okay. Move on.
Okay. I'm wearing WordCamp Miami from 2018 shirt, drinking a cup of coffee, and I'm reading Ask by Ryan Levesque. Have you read this book or heard of him?
Mm-mm, no.
He's an interesting fellow, interesting chap. Here's the copy right there. Here's the book.
Yeah.
It's about sales and funnels and kind of pre-qualifying leads and generating interest in your services or products kind of thing. It's pretty interesting so far. So,
wow.
He's done very well for himself with it. So he has a new book out. I went to the library, got this. I heard about it for a couple of months. I'm like, I'll check this out.
I look forward to reading your blog post summarizing it when you finish.
Wow, that'd be a... Should I do a whole new blog for this? Like a whole new website? Like adamsbookreports.com?
No, just on your blog. Just a review.
Do you not know me?
I mean, we've met.
Yeah, a couple times.
I think that this would be a good idea.
I don't blog.
Oh, man.
Okay. Just, yeah, FYI.
You could start.
Really? You're going to tell me to start something new? You.
I think the Apple Watch should start like adding a ring for blog posts in the activity.
How would it know? How would it know?
Like to gamify.
Yeah.
Blogging.
Okay. All right. I'll let Tim Apple know. See, you don't know that joke. You don't get that joke at all. Dustin right now is just like ha. Okay. Moving on.
Okay.
Hey Kyle, do you know what time it is?
Time. What time is it? What is even? What? What even is time? How can we ever know, man? It's just a construct. Time is meaningless. We're all so fixated on this concept that we fail to see the reality right in front of our eyes, man. Just think about it. Time is made up. It was invented by the Babylonians to subdue the common folk. Now we're all just slaves to the system, man. But I say, wake up. I'm not going to be a part of this system. I'm taking back the power by rejecting this social construct and living my life on my own terms. Who's with me?
Huh. Okay, there's that, and there's also, you know, this. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready, Kyle? I mean, I know you're pressed for time right now. See, they're pressed, word pressed for time. Happy birthday. All right, first question by Michelle Ames sent in. When is the right time to fire a client and how?
Yesterday.
Actually,
the day before yesterday. Actually, whenever they first hired you. Actually, whenever they first met you. That was the right time to fire them.
Wow.
The second best time is right now.
Pause this
podcast and break the great / terrible news to all your clients that you're done putting up with their crap. You won't be pushed around anymore. You're going to stand up for yourself and be your own person because you're strong and independent. And you have one life to live, which is way too short to spend a second of it fixing their silly problems.
Are you reading my notes, Mike? My thoughts here? Are you tapped into my brain?
It's just so predictable.
Option one for me, the day after they send you the deposit check.
Oh,
because then you'll change your telephone number, change your email address, and send them a notice via a new Yahoo email address that they can go to heck in a handbasket.
Uh-oh. Dang.
Option two, 1 month after option one, and after you've ignored them for 30 days. So 60 days later.
Fine. All right.
And option three, sooner versus later, and honestly. Meaning, if it's not a right fit, and they haven't made payments on milestones, and there's just conflict upon conflict, and they keep changing the scope, and they become a headache of some capacity, or they're taking time away from you in a stressful manner, that's when you know you need to have that conversation. Say, you know what? This is not a good time. This is not a good fit. If they've broken terms of the contract even as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. I just had this recently last month after 5 months of the client being dark. I have fired the client. In essence, they were walking away. They've lost money, unfortunately, but it was on them. They went dark for 5 months. No content, not at all. And I have a restart fee if you go dark for more than 21 business days, if they didn't reach out. And it was on the ball was in their court. I reached out a few times, nothing. And so now there's no restart fee because I'm not taking any more of their money because I don't want to. It just wasn't going to work out. And they're aware of this, and we're still actually on good terms. They're nice people. We get along, but the business part, they just, you know, so they spend a couple $1,000 and they never got a finished site. But now they're still paying me for hosting for 2-3 months for staging server because they want access to what I did build. And that's their content. I'm not trying to like lock them out. They own the content. They own the design, all that kind of stuff. It's fine with me and move on, you know, but simple as that. Mm. So,
yeah. Okay. I have like a lot of notes. I'm going to have to speed read.
Okay.
I'll talk fast.
All right.
I think that the essence of your answer is right. We've gotten advice before about how you're supposed to hire slow, fire fast when it comes to employing people. And that general advice, I think, applies here as well. Many consultants take that message to heart when it comes to hiring employees very wisely. Hiring is a big deal when you take on an employee that has a huge impact on your organization, and the damage that can be caused by a bad apple is enormous, but not enough. Definitely not enough. Take that advice. But most consultants, I would go so far as to say, is most consultants have a serious problem with accepting absolutely any client and then becoming extremely reluctant to part ways. This is a real problem. And if an employee is working for you and you know that they are not on your team, what do you do? If they're not helping you achieve your long-term goals, you part ways, right? What if a client is not helping you achieve your long-term goals? I think the same applies. We need to be a little more comfortable with doing this and quick to recognize that a particular client is really not taking us where we want to go.
Wait, I want to interject on this real quick. So a client needs to help you reach your long-term goals?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Every client does. Every client that you accept.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's an interesting way to look at it, which I don't think a lot of people, I mean, I've never really thought about it. I mean, my goal, I guess, is to generate income and to provide for my family. So I guess you're right. Okay. But they're I would disagree. You don't think so?
I think maybe if that's the goal, then some work should be done on improving the goal.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think the goal is to be a sustainable business, right? That provides, that's part of my business goal, is to be sustainable, to, it pays my bills, it provides for my family. That's my goal of my business. And then also to provide solutions to the client. There's two sides of the coin.
I don't want to critique your business goals
today.
But that sounds not specific enough.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. So go on.
Once you solidify the business goals that you have, then you're able to ask the question, does this particular client, this engagement, this project that I'm working on actually move me in the direction towards these specific goals?
That's a very big picture way to look at it, which is fine. I think we're on, I think we both agree that. We're both in agreement, just a different way of saying it and thinking about it. And I haven't really stepped that far enough back yet. And I think you're in a position now at Sandhill specifically that Pippin has done this. Did you ever, let me ask you this. Let me play devil's advocate. Did you ever do this level of thinking when you had the agency?
I made a lot of mistakes in the years that I was doing that, but got better at it over years.
Right. Okay.
I got out of the game entirely because I didn't want to have to continue doing this. And I'm not a good example.
No, I think
this.
You are. I think that's fair because it is a good example. And this is the best part right here of our show sometimes, is that this conversation happens authentically, where you got out of the game completely because you said you got tired of some of that overall strife and stress of having to do the work that you had to do to work the clients and the proposals. And then taking a step back, it wasn't in line of what your goals were for your life at the end of the day. If you take it, that's the step further back, right? I mean, the business, it shouldn't be our lives. That's also a thing. You know, technically they need to be, they could be, and they should be separate.
Right.
Most of us business owners, they're very much intertwined.
I like the more positive framing that I began. I learned more about what I wanted to do with my life and my career,
right,
and began to appreciate that what I was doing at the time was just not going to get me there. I needed to do a different thing in order to get on the track that I think is right for me.
Right. Okay. Continue on your on the thought process here. So
if you don't have solidified goals, you might not be able to acknowledge that. You might be stuck in a situation where you're taking anything. You don't have the justification to end a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have teenage children,
Adam. I do.
So do many of our listeners, and some of us are young enough to remember being a teenager. Most consultants are like teenagers, I think.
Uh-oh.
Teenagers are very often overly obsessed with the small number of relationships that they have and the things in their life, because their scope of experience is so small. At that stage in their life. So missing that one party that everyone else is going to is basically the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And getting dumped by your boyfriend or girlfriend is devastating because no one else in the world could take their place. And not getting the job you interviewed for is soul crushing. But you and I were a little older and wiser. We know and can tell teenagers in our life that they will, in fact, move on. And Chad wasn't their soulmate. And that job was really not a big deal. And there will be a million other parties. And they're all kind of stupid anyway. You can move on from that person because somewhere out there, even though it is hard to imagine because you don't have a lot of experience yet, there's actually someone else who's better. And consultants need to keep this in mind when looking at their clients. If you let go of a client, you're not in big trouble. You're not. You're making yourself available for a new client who will probably be even better. And trust me, there is another client. There are 10,000 other clients. It's hard to imagine, but believe me, they are out there. Life really is too short to work with bad clients.
All very good points, and I think it's interesting the way to look at it. I really do. You know, like you said, you sometimes feel like you're a bad use case example. I don't think you're a bad use case example at all. I think you're on point. You've lived it. You've moved on from it. You know, and now you're in a bigger organization with someone with a person at the top of the pyramid, if you will, who really does have a vision for his life, for his company, and they're two separate things, which is interesting from my point of view. The other thing I want to mention here real quick, before we move on to question two, is also sometimes you may not need to fire the client, Michelle. Sometimes you need to reframe the relationship. It can be saved. And what I mean by this, the client that we just walked away from, that we split up, that's fine. That had to end. It almost ended once. It came back. It kind of upped and flowed over almost a year. A year later, we're done. But I just had a call last week with a client. And they're a maintenance client, but they're switching over to a retainer-based client because of their finance department. And so I was ready to walk away. I wasn't going to, quote, fire them. They're nice people. But I was going to say, their finance department did not want to pay a deposit for projects. They get jobs, but for projects, I need a deposit. I have to pay my people. I can't just work for free with the assumption. And because we don't have a long-standing relationship, I don't really know them that well. They've been with me for 2.5-3 months, tops. Yeah, about 3 months. So I wasn't willing to just start working without anything in the bank, right? From them. No skin in the game. So I was ready to walk. We had a call on Thursday, and they actually were just going to switch them from maintenance to retainers. So the finance department will make a payment of X dollar for so many hours for the month, like a minimum. They're going to use minimum 10 hours a month, let's say, be a payment. So whatever they do now, any jobs they send us, it just goes against that. If they don't use the 10 hours, they lose them. Next month, same payment, that basic retainer policy. Weird way the finance department looks at it and approaches it, but the relationship in the business, the client relationship will go on for now, so. Interesting.
Yeah.
Great question. Yeah. It really is a good question. And, it's a tough question, and it's awkward. Like you said, I think a lot of young business owners don't want to walk away from potential money. You're desperate. You want this job. Like you said, I mean, we've all been down that road. Mm-hmm. 3 years later for concierge, I can tell you, I am so happy when I say no and move on. I mean, if it's not, I just know. I've done episodes on Kitchen Sink, red flags with clients, 2 episodes on it, 5 red flags, 5 more red flags,
Yeah.
I've learned the lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
The hard way for me is not the money, it's the stress.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah.
There are good clients out there.
Oh my gosh. There's amazing clients. Yeah.
That's the thing. If my little sister is going out with some guy who's not that great, I'm going to be quick to say, life is way too short to waste your time on a guy who doesn't respect you.
Right.
There are great guys out there. Right. They really exist. And
how about this?
You deserve one of them.
So it's a different conversation you're having with a sister than you're going to have with Abigail. Trust me, I'm down this path right now.
Well, sure.
Not with Abigail, with Avalon, but it's weird. Yeah. You're right. Absolutely. Relationships. It's all very much symbiotic in that way. As far as it's a very similar concepts.
If you want to get specific about the when, you were given some advice, but it sounded like there were a lot of ors in your statement, and I would maybe summarize it as you fire them when they violate your terms. And you should have pretty crystal clear terms.
Right.
And if you I like to think about if I have a team, keeping in mind the message that I send the team when I concede to clients who violate our terms or kind of abuse us in some way. If you let them turn in everything late or change the project scope or pay whenever they feel like it, you're really saying that the rules don't matter, that you're kind of a pushover, we're beholden to them.
Right.
We're not to be respected.
The old saying that clients always right, the customer's always right, is not correct anymore, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, clients can be trained, and they do need to be trained by us when they engage with us. So you need to walk into the next meeting, and you got to be prepared to say, hey, here's what we've made for you, and here are a list of consultants I'd like to refer you to for everything else that you're going to need in the future.
Yeah.
And when they ask you why, you remind them about the late payment or the late content or whatever else they've done. And the fact that you're truly serious about the rules you put in place and you have other clients to take care of, and best of luck. You got to be prepared to do that in business.
Drop the mic. Wow. You go, Kyle. I got nothing to add to that. I love the passion you have behind this. I do.
It's one of those little
things. It makes me want to start a service
company. I wish I could go back in time and go to some of those meetings and be like, here's what I really think.
I mean, it makes me want to just shut down and start a product company. Wait a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go
ahead. I don't know. Yeah, sure. Okay. Okay. Question two.
Okay. From Serena Dawn.
Hey, thanks, Serena.
Any favorite productivity tools to keep you on track with your to-dos?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's. Yeah. I predominantly have one. And you're going to be surprised, I think, on this one because of just the classic nature of it. I'll just cut right to it. I use an Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh.
It makes me very selective on what gets written down that way.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have to rewrite that thing.
Oh, man, this is like too many words.
I just use the Etch-a-Sketch, and it's like I'll get maybe two or three things on that list, and it's easy to cross it off, but I mean, I have to get all three things done before I can erase it. You know, I have to shake that puppy up.
Right.
So, no, actually, it's not really. The options here are analog and digital are two different options you can go with. I use both. I share pretty widely and often what I use. Analog, I use my productivity planner. I write it down. It's a methodology kind of based on the Pomodoro time tracking thing. And digitally, two things we use. I use OmniFocus for stuff that I need to do for me personally, and we use Asana for anything on the team. And then I also use one last thing. I'll use Focus at Will. It's an online audio service to kind of keep the brain, connected to the task at hand. So you can set a timer there too. And I've had it for years. So I'm like grandfathered into like the $25 a year plan. So, but those three things really: productivity planner, OmniFocus, Asana, depends on what the project's for. And then Focus at Will. I'll put all the links in the show notes too if people want to check those out.
Yeah.
And you, what do you got?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not very good at this.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of suck. I kind of always have, especially when I was only accountable to myself.
Yeah.
Being self-employed for a long time, it was not my strong suit. I was generally productive, but holding myself accountable to things, it's
hard. I mean, I'm not perfect at this, but this keeps me at least on task to say, what do I need to do next? So ideally, I plan my week on Sundays. I do the whole week. What are the five to 10 things I want to do for the week? And then on Sunday, also, I'll plan for Monday. So I wake up Monday morning and I know what I need to do that day.
Yeah.
Day is broken down to like 3 to 4 things tops. And I give myself those goals, and it works. It's not perfect. I can always not do it, but then I don't get paid, you know?
Right.
So
I did go out and get a boss.
Right. Well, that's one way to be held accountable.
I mean, he doesn't really,
but it's different.
Get a lot of pressure or right. accountability or anything like that. Like on very rare instances, there's those like, hey, where's that thing that you said you were going to do? Oh man.
Right.
Ah, whoops.
But even for that. So you have a boss. Sure. But how do you keep a running task list of projects that you need to get done? Now, I mean, just because it's hard to keep it in your brain. That's the number one rule about like getting things done methodology and mindset is get it out of your brain. Cause you'll forget. Your brain only has so much storage, RAM, we call it. Right.
Yeah.
So where do you write stuff down? What do you use just to even write stuff down?
I have used so many different tools. I've always kind of used a dry erase board.
Okay, I have one of those too.
And I like that. And that's probably been the most consistently effective for me. Mm-hmm. But man, I've used Wunderlist and spreadsheets and Mac notes and text files and Gmail tasks and Basecamp to-dos and Slack reminders and Post-it notes and accountability partners. And I've tried it all. Most everything works for about a week. And then starts.
So with down. The boss, the looming boss / autonomy / paycheck not coming, that keeps you on task.
Yeah, I don't worry about any of those things, but I do really want to avoid any case where somebody's like, hey, you said you were going to do that. Where is it? So avoiding those awkward scenarios is a motivator, I guess. But honestly, here's the most effective thing for me. Mm-hmm. This is a hard to accomplish challenge.
Okay.
What's most effective for me is doing work that I love.
Mm.
If I successfully manage to eliminate anything that I don't enjoy, then I don't have problems with things not getting done.
Right.
If I'm only doing things that I want to think about and want to work on, I don't forget or neglect those things accidentally. They don't slip my mind. Hmm. I only ever forget the things that I don't care that much about.
So you're living the dream. That's what you're saying. You're telling Serena that you're living the dream.
Yeah. Yeah. I really need like an accountability partner and someone to motivate me and something to remind me to do stuff. If it's a bunch of stuff that I'm kind of procrastinating on and not into. That's the thing. Lately, the majority of the work that I do is really exciting to me and interesting, and I think it's important. And I am thinking about it in my spare time when I go to bed and when I wake up and in the shower and while I'm eating breakfast and mowing the lawn. And I'm thinking about this stuff because it matters to me.
Nice.
And not a lot of it falls through the cracks.
Right.
So if there's some like really ambiguous goal for you, it's to try and reshape your job as much as you can, so that most of what you are doing day to day is stuff you actually genuinely care about.
Okay. That's the goal. Wow.
I don't know if that's like an attainable thing, but something to think about.
Yeah, totally. No, it's true. And also humans have the typical nature or the unfortunate nature to underestimate there's a way to say this the right way. I'm going to mess this up, but we underestimate how long things will take and we overestimate how much we can get done.
Of course.
Is that the right way to say that?
Very, very consistently. Right. We don't learn from the past very well.
It's hard. I mean, OmniFocus, I put everything in there, but I'm really good at kind of culling through it and tossing it and filing it away until I have margin in my day or my life, and I'll go back to look at stuff. But I keep the list pretty tight. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good questions. Moving on to our segments. This week we have Vagrant Up. That's all you get for that. Okay. You want to go first? Yeah. Or you want me to go first?
Okay, I'm going to rant about, I don't know if this is good, but here's what I got. All right. I'm sick of encountering attitudes which posit that whatever you're doing has to be the thing you do forever. It's so dumb. I'm always encountering people expressing condolences to those who move on from a thing, like their business or employer or project or show or hobby or whatever. But then elsewhere, people are hypothesizing about why it didn't work out and what we can learn from its failure. But this is bogus. We've got to think more about the chapters of life. Nobody's just going to keep doing the same thing forever. Let me tell you this up front. Am I going to live in this house forever? No. Why? It's good for us now, but it won't always be the best fit as our life changes. Am I going to always work at Sandhills? Probably no.
What?
Why? It's super great for me now, but I have 30 plus more years in my career, and it's statistically improbable that any one employer could fulfill all of my needs forever. This is not my grandfather's generation. Things are different now. Will I be in my current band forever? No. It is fun for now, but a day will definitely come when we move on. And guess what? That's okay. Will I do this podcast forever? Well, probably no. It's super fun for now.
Yeah.
And we think there's a place in the world for our brand of nonsense. But a day will come when either the world doesn't need it, or we don't enjoy it, or our lives don't have a place for it. I don't know when that day will come. Who knows? Could be far away. But that day will come. And that day does not need to be a sad day. Why can't we just say, I'm grateful that I got to do that for a while. I'm grateful that I got to live in this house that was a perfect fit, to be in that band that was super fun, to podcast about WordPress with my good friend for years, and to work at an awesome company with a cool team until the next thing, which will be maybe even more fun and exciting. This chapter I'm in now is more fun and exciting than the last chapter. What about the next chapter? So maybe it's our tendency to focus on the negativity, mm-hmm. or to be armchair experts on everything, or the fact that we just don't like change. We like to put people in boxes, and when they change, it makes us uncomfortable. So I say, get over it.
Okay. It was a calm rant. I'll give you that.
I'm pretty chill this morning.
You are. So I stood up. I mean, I muted my audio for a second there. I stood up because I needed to.
Do this. What are you fired up about, man?
So I have two. I'm gonna go with a stronger one. I may add a little bonus rant here at the end. We'll see. But yeah, because it's still top of mind to me. But these are both top of mind. So I have kids, as you know. Oh, how I love my kids. And they're teenagers. But what I don't love is a lack of follow through in their part. In regards to the overall of cleaning things up. You know, besides the fact that they see nothing below their knees until the age of 29 or so. You know, if it's on the floor, it doesn't exist. It's invisible, unless it's cash money. Okay. And this takes me to the most recent incident of one of my two teenagers that currently live in this household. As far as cleaning up after dinner, putting things away. This one teen has a job. No names here. Apparently, he does his job at the workplace. It's a fast food, casual establishment kind of place. He does his work well. He brags about how he's trained people. He cleans up without being asked. He takes out the garbage without being told to do, which blows my mind. But when I ask him to put XYZ away from the kitchen counter, as he would do at work, he retorts, "But I've been there for 8 months. I know what to do." Excuse me, sir, young man. You've been here in this household for 16 years. Dude, you need to get your act together, child of mine. Okay. So.
Calm down, man. It's okay. It's okay. They're just teenagers.
He doesn't. So I guess the missing equation is I don't pay him, but I feed him. Man, it's just our teenagers.
Yeah, I don't know. They struggle to just appreciate those things.
Yeah. Anyway.
Were you a good teenager? Did you tidy up after yourself?
So funny story. My dad, this is hilarious, a little side note here. My dad would say to me, I'll be honest. Probably not. Because I know the story is this. My dad would always tell me, "I wish you would just do your fair share." That was my dad's line for the longest time. Cut to, I'm in college. I'm a senior in college, living with three other guys, four of us guys. And I come back to our apartment one day, and the kitchen is a pigsty. So my roommate and I, so we had two bedroom, two bath. We had, middle living room kind of thing. Doug and I were clean. We cleaned our bathrooms every week. We took turns. We flip-flop. We took to clean the bathroom, scrub it down. The other two guys never touched it for 10 months. It was disgusting in there. Okay. Yeah, it was gross. And then we'd vacuum, whatever. So, but I came back to the apartment one day. No one's there. And the kitchen, total wreck. And I said to myself under my breath, "I just wish they would do their fair share." I sat down, called my father on the phone, and apologized. He loves that story.
That's a good one. Well, maybe you'll be getting a call someday.
I'm going to add my secondary little rant because it's so relevant right now to what I'm in my life, I think. So just 2 weeks ago, as you know, I replied to a tweet right before on my way to work Camp Jackson. A woman had snapped a photo of her legs on an airplane. She's in the window seat. Gentleman in the aisle seat, and he was slouched down, and he was invading her personal space with his legs. The tweet went really wide. I got a lot of impressions on him. But the rant here is this, because he was mansplaining. He was manspreading. And my rant is this about other men on this, okay? Come on, guys. We are better than this. One guy makes it bad for everybody. How are you not aware of your space in the world? It's rude, crude, and uncalled for. It's ridiculous. Sit up, pay attention, and be better. Okay.
Right.
That's it. Short, sweet, to the point. Crazy. Come on, guys.
It is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so I retweeted this with a quote from my wife, who was a flight attendant. So I came back educated answer of how to deal with these men. It's never women. It's us men. Oh, this is actually a bigger rant than I thought it would be. So frustrating. I just want us to be better across the world. So, all right, that's all I got. Now I'm fired up.
Then it's probably time to conclude our episode. Let's take this out, man. Let's do this. Let's wrap it up. Let's end at Fiend. Let's, take this out to pasture and.
Okay. You want to do it? You want me to do it?
Let's put a bow on it. let's drop anchor. let's raise our. Anyway, let's
shove off.
Yeah.
Let's skedaddle. Let's giddy up out of here.
I've got things to do today.
Let's be a
lot of leaves to rake.
Let's be like banana and split.
Let's make like a tree
and leave.
Get out of here.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to email us any questions you have, questions@getoptionspodcast.com, or use the SpeakPipe feature on the website. You can find us each online, Twitter primarily. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. We are at get_options. We're on SoundCloud. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Adios, Kylito.